Coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles, it's time for Stock Up, Stock Down after the Eagles matchup with the New York Jets to kick off the preseason on Friday night. Who shined and who struggled? Gino and I will get into it coming up next right here on your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, Locked On Eagles.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Welcome in, Eagles fans, to a Monday edition of the show. And it's brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net has you covered the season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Because BetOnline is where the game starts. I lost my bet on Friday in that Eagles-Jets game. I picked the Eagles money line with a parlay with the Phillies to beat the Mets money line. The Phillies took care of it. The Eagles, I blew it. I tweeted Eagles money line when they scored that go-ahead touchdown, Gino, and that's what you get, though. You jinx the bet. I turned off the game, literally started celebrating, and then I got a couple tweets that people weren't happy with me. They blame me for that one. I'll take that on the chin.
Well, rule number one, never take the Eagles to beat the Jets in a preseason game.
That's probably my first mistake. Yeah.
They do it in the regular season. They're exceptional in the regular season.
They're undefeated against the Jets in the regular season. Yeah.
In the preseason, it is always up for grabs, and I saw you had tweeted that. Leave the gambling to me. But no, that first preseason game, Lou, how it looked from start to finish, in my opinion, outside of that 13 defense that just allowed a ridiculous scoring drive. I rewatched the game afterwards. I had to coach during the game, so I watched it after, and I said, how did they lose this game when they just went up with a minute and 30-some-odd seconds left? Up four. I thought all three phases and all three units did exceptionally well. There were winners in multiple different departments. We have the voting going on for our Jacory Shepard preseason MVP award. Right now, Reed Blankenship is leading the way. Somebody who comes out, an undrafted free agent.
Didn't expect that, but that's the whole purpose of the award, Gino, is to have someone you didn't expect win it, right?
Hey, he had eight tackles in that game, looked good on special teams. I thought he looked pretty good as a safety as well. Jason Huntley had a good game. Noah Toji-Ai. You had Teron Jackson. There were a lot of players, like you and I were prefacing prior, that this was going to be an important game for a lot of these players. A make-or-break type of environment for maybe a guy like Jalen Reagor, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and you saw J.J. didn't perform. Jalen actually went out there and had maybe a showcase outing that they could potentially trade him. But all in all, I thought there was a lot of evaluation to take place from this game, and we still have two more events. We got the joint practices with Cleveland before this Sunday's matchup.
Yep, starting and then Wednesday.
Next week, they'll have joint practices against Miami as well. Take on the Miami Dolphins in a preseason game. These next 2 weeks, after tomorrow, where they have to get down to 85 guys, there's going to be a plethora of cutdowns, and it's going to be difficult, man. Roster and the depth, it's going to be very difficult.
For the backups especially, I think for the starters, and the Eagles saw it up close and personal on the other side with the Jets having their quarterback Zach Wilson suffer a knee injury, I think they are going to really emphasize these joint practices against the Browns and the Dolphins. And I'm not sure how much you're going to see of the starters, though, in these preseason games, starting with the Browns Sunday at 1 o'clock. But as you mentioned, huge for the second and third teamers. When it comes to the starters, though, Gino, I think starting stock up, stock down here. I mean, I get why you wouldn't want to see them the rest of the way, because I thought they were perfect on both sides of the ball against the Jets on Friday night, and stock up to the two most important people of this franchise right now, the quarterback and the head coach, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. I mean, what a perfect start, which is huge considering some of the stories we've been hearing of camp. It's been up and down so far for the first team offense. The first team defense gave it to the Jets, right? You saw Kazir White with that interception, but it was the offense that I think needed to have a big day, and they did. There were so many things I loved about that performance from these two. I mean, Jalen Hurts and Sirianni. Number one, I loved, you know, that they threw every time on that first drive. And I love that Jalen Hurts in that kind of situation was perfect. He went 6 for 6, 80 yards, and a 22 touchdown to Dallas Goedert to cap off the drive. Even though it was against the Jets, I thought it was an awesome performance. I thought Hurts got the ball out quick. He made fast and the right decisions. He utilized the middle of the field. Even when he scrambled to that Quez Watkins first down, he kept his eyes downfield along the right sidelines. And then for Sirianni, I mean, loving seeing him have his quarterback's back you know, with that late hit. So I thought it was a great start for those two. I mean, you couldn't really ask for a better start.
When you look at what Nick Sirianni said after that game, I am ever more confident that he is on Eagles Twitter basically 24/7. They said, do you want to, one of the beat reporters said, do you want to showcase what Jalen could do in the pass game? Because you ran the ball a lot last year and you just saw the smirk on his face. And he, I believe, wanted to showcase what Jalen has improved on and all of
and what
those
he
things.
Wants to do and what Sirianni yeah. wants to do, man. They want to throw.
They do want to throw. And what you saw and what I personally saw from Jalen seemed quicker in his decision-making. Things just seemed more fluid. It didn't seem like he was maybe a step or two behind the play. He utilized the whole field, right, Lou? It wasn't targeting one area while he's outside of the pocket on the run. He was doing it from different platforms. He was getting outside the pocket. He was staying in the pocket. He was waiting for his routes to develop. That one Quez Watkins crossing route, the Quez Watkins scramble, the Dallas Goedert touchdown, all of those were timing routes that you have to be on the same page with your quarterback and wide receiver. And Jalen, even after taking an absolute bush league hit to the head in a preseason game, remained calm, stood in the pocket, and delivered a beautiful touchdown to Dallas Goedert. I mean, that is going to happen more times than we could count.
And on the left side of the field, Gino, which is where Hurts struggled more last year, was utilizing the middle of the field and going across his body to the left. As you mentioned, I mean, he hit Quez Watkins on the right sideline, checked down to Sanders on the right side. He hit Goddard and Stoll over the middle. As you said, the Goddard touchdown was on the left side. So he definitely utilized the whole field. And
without again, Devontae Smith and even targeting A.J. Brown.
He didn't, he didn't target A.J. Brown once, which is – and, Gino, you're right. Like, everything seemed smoother. His mechanics, you know, where his body was pointing. I thought just overall the footwork. He just – even the, is something as little as – that screen pass to Miles Sanders, the way the ball came out of his hands, that motion was just super smooth. So that was definitely a good start. And then again with Sirianni, Gino, look, I never wanted Doug Peterson to be fired, but man, did they get somebody with pretty much all the same strengths. I mean, that's what I love, that this organization at least recognized what made Doug great, and they wanted that again. I mean, seeing Sirianni almost want to fight the Jets' entire sidelines, that makes a player – I mean, a player's coach is what you need in the NFL nowadays. Every player is going to want to fight for that guy. And, you know, there's sometimes organizations make – you know, when you hire Chip Kelly, right, you then hire Doug Peterson. You take the complete opposite approach philosophy-wise of a head coach. I'm really glad the Eagles brass, they know what they want in a coach at least. And Sirianni – I was super impressed. I know it was a little thing, but seeing him fired up like that, I don't know, it got me juiced up. That's a great, you know, trait to have in your coach.
Especially in a preseason game, because you want to set the precedent as an organization that every snap matters. You don't want to be that team that just goes through the motions in the preseason and then the regular season comes along and you have to change the switch of how you operate. No, everything should be under the same MO. We're going to go out there, we're going to play Philadelphia Eagles football, regardless of who is on the field. And Nick Sirianni is the one leading the ship. And like you said, they identified what Doug did well. I think they identified what Chip did well. I thought a lot of the game planning elements you could take from Chip, the player elements you could take from Doug, Nick seems to get it. He just seems to know all of those little elements. And he understands now that he has taken a step back and allowed Shane Steichen to be the play caller.
He can go AWOL on the sidelines.
Well, not just that, but he could see the 30,000 foot view and get a better hands-on approach of leading this organization. And I'm with you, man. I'm a fiery kid, Italian kid from Western New York, too. I would have been doing the same thing.
Me, you, and Sirianni, we're all fiery.
We all would have been throwing our arms around on that sideline.
Which is what he was doing. That was great to see. Gino, who impressed you on Friday night?
Well, we didn't get to see him early in the preseason because he was out with a little bit of a sickness. And then he comes back and he's starting to become reliable in practice. And then you see him on the field being the most reliable weapon for all three of those quarterbacks in that game. Zach Pascal, I thought, was exceptional. They haven't had a player, in my opinion, that understands how to work against zone as well as Zach Pascal does. Look at his tape against Indy, when he played for Indy, he does a very good job of timing up when he should sit down into his breaks, sit in a zone, and just find that open space. which was very similar to what Zach Ertz did very well. They need a player like that for a young quarterback that can you could just rely on to be in the right area at the right time, right? Is he going to be A.J. Brown? Is he going to be DeMonte Smith? No. But when you're in your progressions and one is covered, two is covered, maybe Dallas Goedert isn't even in there on that play, but then you're running 11 personnel or you got a bunch of wide receivers out there and Zach Pascal's your fourth option. He's just sitting there in the slot bracketed between two guys and he has a bunch of room. You just give him the ball and see what he can do. And I thought he showed that off the other night and he just has that veteran mentality that Jason Avant, get to your spot, do it the right way, show off good hands and be a true leader through your actions on the football field. I'm excited to see what Zach Pascal could bring to the depth of this team because we hadn't had that in the past couple of years. It's top heavy, and then you didn't have much below that. Zach Pascal, if he ends up with 400 or 500 yards on the season, Lou, would you be shocked at all? Because I truly wouldn't.
It makes me feel good that, you know, not that you're banking on injuries again, but you're kind of over the last 5 years preconditioned to expect them, even though it hasn't happened the last 2 years. But it's good to know that you have a fourth receiver like that, that, you might, if you lose A.J. Brown and DeVonta Smith, you're not replacing those two star players. But this is the perfect kind of backup that when there are injuries like that and you need somebody reliable, you know, you still have somebody like this on the depth chart. It's a much better version of what, you know, Greg Ward was in 2019 when everything was crumbling down. You still had some sort of reliability there, and Pascal's that, but at a much higher level. So I totally agree. Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by BetterHelp. What BetterHelp does really hits me where I live. Life has thrown us all a lot of curveballs, especially the last few years. And a few years ago, it seemed like every month for me, it threw a different one every day. I've always struggled with anxiety in my life, and my mental health got even worse because of some stuff going on outside of just the pandemic alone. Luckily, I finally had the courage to talk to somebody, and thank God I did. It's important to show up for yourself and take care of yourself, but letting others help you get there is just as important. That's where BetterHelp does come in. BetterHelp online therapy will assess your needs and can match you with your own licensed professional therapist in less than 48 hours. I've been seeing a therapist now for about 2.5 years, and it really has changed the way I think and my behavior, the way I go about crisis and stressful situations. It's made me more, I would say, patient with myself and with others. It's helped me to know that emotions don't control you. They're passing through and they don't have to take over your decisions. I'll never recommend something to you more than BetterHelp right here on Locked On Eagles. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online, available to people worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist, and you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you don't have to be on camera if you don't want to. And getting therapy every week is as easy as a few clicks on your laptop or your phone. With therapy, it can also take a few tries to find the right fit for you. So BetterHelp makes it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is also available. BetterHelp is a great way to invest in yourself. So many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. They have a special offer for my listeners at Locked On Eagles. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedon. That's 10% off your first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com. Gino, let's continue stock ups here. I mean, we both got to talk about these rookies, right? I mean, how good were Jordan Davis, Cam Jurgens, and N'Kobe Dean especially on Friday night? The Eagles might have, and this is how you sustain long-term success. This is why the Eagles weren't able to sustain that Super Bowl window from 2017 to 2020, is because they kept having just such inconsistency in their draft classes. But the last two, I mean, these guys just seem to get it. You know, the maturity, the preparation. It makes sense why Alabama loved these guys and Georgia and all these top schools. But you saw the talent on the field too, man. I mean, the way Davis and Dean fed off each other on defense, and the way Jurgens looked like a mini Jason Kelce out there Friday night was really exciting to watch. They really stole the show.
Did I hit it right on the head, or did I hit it right on the head when I said good luck to the second center that is going to have to play one-on-one against Jordan Davis?
Because how many times were they double? They were triple teaming Davis on a couple plays. They were concerned about 9-0, and that opened up so much space.
He is a chess piece. He is a force multiplier. He makes it difficult for an offense to game plan, which then opens up the one-on-one battles for everybody else. I am thrilled to just see him on the field, because the first time he lined up and they did the sideline angle, the television view, I'm looking at it and I said, that person is way bigger than everybody else. And all of those people are 6'4" or bigger.
And the Jordan Jets knew it.
Yes, absolutely. And even in the first preseason game, you're seeing teams throw two, even three offensive linemen at this kid. What are you going to do when you have a 10-year-plus veteran in Fletcher Cox and a potential all-pro player in Javon Hargrave being in one-on-one matchups on the interior? And then on the exterior, Hassan Riddick, his first play of the game, he's in the backfield. That's going to happen all the time. It's going to happen all of the time, Lou. And a lot of it stems from having a player in Jordan Davis, which they did not have. No team really has him. He's a unicorn. He's not a guy that comes around every so often. And then they found a player that nobody has had before. And then they found an identical clone to a player that they still have.
Only Juergens, you know, too. Man. I mean, you saw the power moves that Juergens was making. It wasn't just that he was getting down to the second and third level, you know, pulling and blocking downfield, but the power he showed. I mean, he's bigger than Kelce. That's the exciting part, is it looks like he has, not to say he's going to be just as good, if not better than Kelce, who's one of the best centers, I think, ever, and one of the most athletic offensive linemen in NFL history, but he has, like, you can clearly tell he's a bigger guy. I mean, there's been stories of him and Jordan Davis going back and forth at camp and, you know, Juergens anchoring down on Davis. And that's the exciting part, too, is he kind of has that combo.
He is the player that, like they said, when you're looking at the draft and you want to find a comparable player, who is the perfect comp for Jason Kelce? I don't think there's been one in the last couple drafts outside of Cam Juergens.
Kelce said himself that Juergens reminded him the most of himself.
It's a match made in heaven. Like, let's just plug and play a player who does identical things to our current center, who's going to be a true Fire Hall of Famer. Is it going to be an easy transition? I'm sure there will be some hiccups, yeah, of course. But the signs in the first game, they were there. Just seeing how athletic he was, Lou, the first time he pulls and he has to get onto a reach block, and you just see how fluid his hips are to get around and the displacement he gets on one-on-one battles, Lou. Like you said, Kelce isn't the strongest center of all time. He's a little bit undersized. Mm-hmm. Cam Juergens, man, he's Midwest strong. That kid can throw people around, and he just goes about it the right way, too, just a quiet kid. He makes beef jerky for the team. Like, he's just a Midwest guy.
That's his name.
That's
his nickname, Beef Jerky.
Beef Jerky. Great nickname. And
that's great.
To finish up the rookies, N'Kobe Dean. Talk about
a player. I told you on Thursday. I know he's been quiet.
You said it. You said it.
Justifiably so. These other three linebackers have been getting more hype. But when that game clock starts and he's in live action, I mean, he was everywhere. PFF gave him an 85.1 overall grade, man, on 24 snaps. Talk about feeding off Jordan Davis. That one play where Davis ripped through the center. You know, the running back did break the tackle, but Dean was there to clean it up. I mean, the one play, he was blocking the one lineman and threw him into the running back to stop him. I mean, yeah, that was fun to watch him too.
Yeah, there were a couple times when he was coming downhill and you're just saying, wow, this kid looks a little different. And even just that, what they were able to do with N'Kobe Dean and Davian Taylor in there at the same time. There was one where I believe Davian was on the right side of the field. N'Kobe's lined up on the left. There's a guy in motion. N'Kobe kind of shows that he's following the guy in motion, but at the same time, Davian is following him. N'Kobe ends up going into the line of scrimmage, and Davian comes across the field, and he's in one-on-one coverage and makes the pass breakup. Just the interchangeability between these guys with similar skill sets. You have Kaiser White, who flashed right away. TJ Edwards might be the most underrated safety or linebacker in football. Davian Taylor is still as athletic as we thought and can hit as hard. N'Kobe Dean is going to be a true three-down linebacker when it's all said and done. And Sean Bradley even put out good tape the other day, Lou. This room is by far the best we have seen it. And talk about practice all you want. N'Kobe Dean is a freaking gamer, man. Like,
it
talk
just, the
about
game
a
is
guy
so slow for him. I mean, that's the thing. When you saw Davian Taylor start in the NFL in 2020, it all moved too fast for him. But Dean, right, it just comes. Right. so natural, and it just feels like he's playing on instinct. But he's always, I mean, again, it was only one game, but it felt like he was always in the right situation, always around the ball. So, yeah, overall, the 2022 rookies looked great on Friday night against the Jets. Gino, before we get into some stock down and wrap up the show, who's one more player that you were impressed with on Friday?
You guys know I had to talk about this, and before I get on this one, they lost the game because they allowed a 50-yard kickoff return,
and I know that's on Mike
Clay. Bothered the hell out of me. I started laughing like the Joker. But one thing that looked good and improved, and I've been hard on this player the last couple weeks and this offseason, Aaron Sipos. He averaged over 45 yards punt. He put them into 20 a few different times. He averaged close to 42 yards a punt last year. He's up over 3 yards on average. That's huge. That's exactly what I wanted to see. I wanted to see somebody whose leg improved, somebody who could get better with the placement. And they didn't bring in any competition for Sipos, but what he did the other night, right now it's looking like he has a better chance to get that job. And I thought multiple parts of the special teams unit were good. I thought Jason Huntley looked phenomenal as a kick returner.
43-yard return, yeah.
I thought their return unit on the punt early on was very good. I thought their early return units were better, but that late return unit got him in trouble. But Aaron Sipos, he might not have competition there, and they might not have to bring in somebody if he's continuing to add 45 yards per punt. Now, is he Matt Araiza, who in Buffalo the other day had an 82-yard punt, which was
while rocking an arm sleeve, by the way?
Absolutely insane. Absolutely not. But Aaron Sipos, can you kick in the winter? And that's what it's going to come down to. It's easy to kick in the summer.
Right. It's a good point.
The air isn't as thick. It's not as hard to get a ball to travel a little bit farther. But right now, it's looking like Aaron Sipos has found a way to make his way onto this roster.
Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by the official sportsbook of the Locked On Podcast Network, BetOnline. At BetOnline.net, they're your fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. They're going to give you the advice that you need. Don't take it from me. I did not hit that Philly parlay on Friday night, but you can bet on the Phillies, the MLB, the Eagles, and the NFL. You can bet on futures, who's going to win MVP, comeback player of the year, the rookies of the year, bet on the NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, even golf, all at BetOnline. They continue to be the top online resource for all sports wagering information. From live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts, they've got you covered. Head over to BetOnline.net today on your phone or on your computer to learn more about the action happening today, because BetOnline is where the game starts. All right, Gino, let's wrap up the show by getting into some players that struggled, maybe not just Friday night, but they head into week two of the preseason with their stock down. I thought one, and it's kind of disappointing because you were very into him during the draft process this year. I loved his natural arm talent too. Scared of the mobility, of course, and the health. With the Eagles, too, it looks like they haven't been overly impressed because quarterback Carson Strong, I mean, he didn't even play. So that's pretty disappointing. I don't know if he's probably going to get cut the first wave. I was excited just to see him in live game action, show off that arm. Maybe he gets a chance against Cleveland on Sunday since more backups are going to play. But, you know, overall, not great for your boy. And I was excited to see him. So it does stink that he didn't get any chance.
Not good at all, and especially because his counterpart out of Nevada, Romeo Doubs, had a very good touchdown for the Packers the other day. He looks to be coming on pretty strong. I was shocked that Carson didn't even get one series.
I agree,
Reed Sinnett looked okay. Didn't blow me away. I don't think that you're ever going to want to see Reed Sinnett in an NFL football game.
No.
Why not give the other kid who's your third option, third/fourth option, some throws? Hopefully we'll see him, like you said, against Cleveland, but to not get any and being the highest paid undrafted free agent basically in the entirety of the National Football League, and they couldn't even put him on an NFL field. Man, that
not a good sign.
Discouraging. That's very discouraging for Carson Strong, unfortunately.
All right, Gino, what do you got? Stock down. You were shaking your head on Friday because of who?
I'm still there with Derek Barnett, man. Like, and a lot of it goes to the other players around him. I just think Taron Jackson flew off the line of scrimmage. His technique and his use of hands is much better than Derek Barnett was. And Taron Jackson, even Patrick Johnson as that Sam linebacker, they both just seem to be better at holding their gap. They just seem better to hold their edge and more athletic and fluid. And Derek Barnett, he gets into a scrum with Andre Dillard in Sunday's practice. And it's always him. It's always him. I'm just over that. And I would not want to keep a player who you know who he is. The Kirk Cousins of the defense, let's say. Like, you know who Kirk Cousins is. You know who Derek Barnett is. I would much rather wait and see on Taron Jackson. I'd much rather wait and see on Patrick Johnson.
Yeah, because it's tough, man. Are both those guys going to make the roster if Derek Barnett's kept, which he's going to be? I mean, it might be down to Jackson versus Johnson, which stinks because, as you mentioned, Friday, I thought both of them looked really good.
They're going to get claimed on waivers if either of them gets cut. Instantly.
Yeah.
I don't take that risk. I get rid of Derek Barnett with no second hesitation about it. There's no reason that a veteran player who has been in several situations, called out by his coach, multiple coaches, Doug Peterson, now Nick Sirianni, for being in altercations that he shouldn't be in, and then he gets into a scrum on Sunday after having a dog water performance the other night in that preseason game. I have no use for this guy. I don't want to see him in Philadelphia. I am over Derek Barnett.
I am disappointed again. I think he's making the roster.
I just don't get it. I get it.
Trust me, the evaluation standpoint.
Yeah, it doesn't
there's not enough positives to outweigh the negatives.
No.
Considering he's not a guy that, like, I would be okay with the penalties and the undisciplined approach if he was a 15 sack a year guy.
Yeah.
But he's your fourth option on the edge right now, maybe even fifth if Jackson keeps emerging. So, yeah, I'm with you, man. Stock down for Barnett. Also, too, just because of the stock up approach with Patrick Johnson and Taron Jackson. So, yeah, absolutely. And then, Gino, I got another stock down. You might want to, you know, cover your ears for this one.
I'm with you, man.
JJ, it sounds like it's probably time. Rumors are he might be getting cut with the first wave. Didn't practice yesterday with a non-injury designation, so the writing might be on the wall there. Noah Tojiai looked good at tight end. You know, Jack Stahl looks much improved with his receiving ability. You know, also they do have Tyree Jackson trying to get healthy. They love his upside. So, you know, with JJ, look, he's tried really hard. Last year, he's like, I'm going to be a special teams ace, right? A former second round pick, that's a bust. A lot of time, those players aren't willing to, you know, do that. This year, he's like, I'm going to try at tight end. So I do give the kid props for sure, but it doesn't look like he's got it at this level. And I think it is a lesson that the Eagles can learn that I think they've already learned, you know, but I think that pick does really just represent, number one, maybe a faulty process back then, right? That was a very Jeffrey Lurie influenced pick. They were split, the scouting, you know, department, Joe Douglas and Howie wanted Paris Campbell. It sounded like Doug and Lurie wanted JJ. So we know about all of that, those stories and the divisiveness and that process and the approach over the years. So it represents that. And also too, just not to get tunnel vision with certain traits. They really loved his competitive, you know, contested catch strength at Stanford, but the kid couldn't separate. And with Jalen Reagor, they were enamored with speed. I think they've already learned this lesson, Gino, but just saying overall, like, JJ really does represent a lot of the issues the Eagles had when it comes to their pre-draft process.
JJ to me signifies when the flag went up, when that white flag, like, okay, we really need to take a look at our wide receiver evaluation process here.
Sure.
What are we looking at? What is wrong that we are looking at? The idea of looking at production over traits.
That's another point. Yeah. They were very tunnel vision with that
with
too.
JJ.
Yeah.
They went traits with Jalen. And then they finally put it all together and got
balance.
Traits and production with Devontae Smith. Sometimes you have to lose and make bad picks, but you can't look at it as an ultimate failure because do they learn if they make that JJ selection? Do they learn that they were faulty in their process if they don't make that pick, right, Lou? And maybe they get Paris Campbell and you can beat around the bush that he was
a little bit better.
Yeah, exactly. And make a stand and say, okay, maybe he was somewhat good and we can continue this process. No, they had to overhaul everything. And it really did start with JJ. And looking at the player he was at Stanford, it was really that 50-50 game. He couldn't separate as much. And now you're realizing you're not going to win like that in the NFL. And you have to have guys that can separate multiple phases, not just in the air on 50-50 receptions, but being able to get off the line,
right,
being able to get in and out of their routes, having true and reliable hands. He just has never had that moment for him in the NFL that it really clicked. And yes, he has had some surprising moments where you're saying, oh, wow, JJ like had the game-winning touchdown in one game on a fumble, which actually happened. His first touchdown in the NFL was because he picked up the ball in the end zone. Man, it's going to stink when he's gone because I love JJ Arcega-Whiteside, but it's over, man. Like, Noah Toji-Ai looked good. I thought Jack Stoll looked better. Richard Rodgers is not going to find his way off of this roster. He just showed up.
Richard Rodgers is going to be here in like 10 years, man. He's forever in Philly.
A lifer, and it's going to come at the expense of JJ for sure.
Even back then, I mean, I know you saw it more than I did, but the plan, even in general, I wonder, is like, what were they looking to do? Because they had, remember, just after they took JJ, they had moved back to Alshon Jeffrey's cap hit, right? So they had uploaded or backloaded the contract, right, and gave him guaranteed money up front. So they had planned for Alshon still to be there for a while. He was coming off a really good 2018 run. I know Nelson Aguilar was in that fifth-year option season, but what were they planning to do? Have it be Alshon and JJ with DeSean Jackson? I don't know what their plan was to begin with. So unless they were planning on moving Alshon eventually, but again, then the contract thing happened. So it was head scratching from every angle.
Well, they got their 2019 wide receiver in AJ Brown. I don't know why we're even having this conversation anymore. The JJ Arcega-Whiteside pick is dead. They have a Pro Bowler. They have an All Pro. They have a multi-time 1,000-yard receiver. I don't know what people are talking about that their process was flawed. They have a 2019 wide receiver. They come back and they're doing all right.
They learn from their mistakes, man. That's the one thing about this team is they always do clean up messes, including that 2019 process. Because as you mentioned, I mean, if it wasn't JJ, it was going to be Campbell. So, I mean, AJ Brown was already off the board by that point, but super interesting to look back at that. And, JJ's time looks like it's probably going to be up with the roster cuts coming up soon. Gino, we'll continue to get into it though. Coming up this week, we got a big week, right? The Cleveland Browns joint practices begin Wednesday, correct? We got Wednesday and then the preseason game Sunday at 1:00. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on all podcast platforms, Monday through Friday, also available in video form on YouTube. And make sure you follow us on Twitter because we're always talking birds after the show at Locked On Birds, at GC_football, and at DBLCLOE. Thanks so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Make sure your second listen is the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast with Vinny Lyer, who brings you over 20 years of NFL expertise to help you build a championship roster in 2022. For Gino Camilleri, though, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. That'll do it for today on Locked On Eagles. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for watching and listening. And let's go, Birds.